Good morning, Christ the King. I am Pastor Bill McKinley, and I'm one of the pastors here. Pastor Craig and Marilyn are on vacation, disconnected from the internet, I believe, up in like New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, some island. That really sounds nice, doesn't it? Being disconnected from all that busyness. So they're up there for a couple weeks. Today, we are starting a new series called Baggage. And baggage is really going to be about how we carry things around in our life. But how we're called to find freedom from the baggage we carry. And over the next, this week and the following 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about today, what is it? Freedom in Christ, freedom in Jesus. Next week, freedom from our past. Patty Menelakis will bring in that message about freedom from our past. The following 2 Sundays, Pastor Craig will talk about freedom today, and then freedom in our future. And really, it's about how do we discover freedom in our lives. Over the last several years, during the fall and the spring, we've had classes and small groups on finding freedom. And our 21 days of prayer that Stephen talked about that starts this coming Sunday, the theme really is freedom. So when you sign up for that, you'll be getting some prayers and some guidance about praying in your freedom, about giving up those things that we carry on. And it's an amazing way to be able to further our relationship with who Christ is calling us to be. The baggage. That's what we're talking about over the next 4 weeks. Today, we're talking about freedom in Christ. And so part of what I want to do is unpack what that word freedom means. Because when we think about freedom, oftentimes we think about like July 4th, 1776, when we declare freedom from Great Britain, or free to do what I want to do, and those patriotic things. And recently, I was at a friend's, over at a friend's house, and they have a 10-year-old daughter, and we're outside hanging out, and the 10-year-old daughter goes to her dad, "I'm 10, and I can do what I want now because I'm old enough." And I'm thinking, wow, middle school is coming real quick for you. You know, this little girl at 10 thought she was old enough to do what she wanted, but she had the freedom because she was 10. And so, she's responsible enough, of course. What 10-year-old is not responsible enough to do whatever they want? And it's just started thinking about freedom. Because that's how often we think about freedom, is I can do what I want when I please. We look at adolescents, and part of their maturing is to start pushing away and finding that freedom to be able to do and make those choices on their own. And some are good choices, and some are, well, not so good choices. But it's discovering that freedom that's on our own. But, you know, we can't just think, okay, it's like little kids or adolescents have this misconception of what freedom really is. Because freedom really is not about what you can do on your own. Freedom really is about stopping the hamster wheel that we live in, of going in a circle looking for something better in our lives, of trying to earn love, trying to earn a relationship with Christ. Because as adults, we have baggage also. We have baggage because, you know, I know I have a newer car to himself. By the things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So everything is being reconciled. Reconciled means being made new, being made whole, brought together. So everything on earth and heaven, everything, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, has been made brought whole again and living in Jesus. Continue at the 21st verse. Once you were aliens, once you were far from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, establish and affirm, and do not move from the hope held out of the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So there's nothing about a checklist here. Freedom means that God, through Christ, has done all the work through shedding of his blood. When he hung on the cross, when he died for our sins and rose again, everything was made new. We can't do anything except for saying yes to live into it. There's nothing about checking boxes off here about a relationship. It says you are free because of what Christ has done. Probably the most famous passage about freedom, John 8:36. This is the freedom that we seek. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So if Jesus has done all the work, if Christ has done all the work, we find that in Him. We don't need anything except for to believe in Him to have that freedom. We don't have to check off boxes about a relationship. Because really, it's about freedom in Christ. Christianity is not a religion to join, but a relationship to have. I'm going to join a church, I'm going to join this whatever, and we think we've found freedom. No, it's about a relationship you have that you live into. Because when you realize Christianity is not a religion to join, but a relationship to have, you live forgiven. You actually live like you believe it. You live that new life that you've been seeking. You live joyfully. We live as children who have a home. Baggage is what stops us from living in this freedom. So this bag here is packed for confirmation camp. I leave today 12:30 for confirmation camp, 11 middle schoolers, 2 adults. Thanks, Pastor Craig, for making me preach and then go to camp for a week. But this is great. This is great because of this great illustration of what baggage really is. I mean, can you imagine? This thing is heavy. This is like 50 pounds carrying around this. This is what our junk is in our life. And it's funny, I was packing this this week and getting things laid out. And maybe you don't know, but earlier in the month of July, we went on a mission trip, 28 students or so, to West Virginia. So I had to pack this bag, which is heavier than, to go on that week mission trip, come back, clean out all the dirt. It sits around for a while, then I had to fill it back up. Isn't that like how our own baggage is in our lives? We start cleaning whatever we've done or whatever's been done to us in our lives out, and we don't quite maybe get to the bottom. And then we go away for a while, and then 2 weeks later we come back and our baggage we're still carrying is full again. We want to carry our baggage. We have a hard time sometimes letting go of it. And it's funny, this bag, this physical bag, I've had for about 15 years. It's probably been to about 20 different Mexico mission trips. It's been to mission trips throughout the United States. It's been mission trips in Cambodia, Israel. It's been in Europe with me. And it's falling apart. But we carry our baggage wherever we go. We carry our baggage to our work. We carry our baggage to, you know, relationships with our kids and with our families. And it becomes, after a while, you realize, I can't keep carrying this around. What is your baggage? What is your baggage? You may ask, well, why does this matter? Why does I carry around this stuff? I'm not going to let it go. Why does it matter? Teen depression and suicide is at its highest rate in history. More people suffer from depression and are antidepressants than ever. All this baggage, the stress, the sleepless nights, the worry, the anxiety, the heart disease that happens because of it. But think about how we take out what we carry out on our families and our kids, the credit card debt that we rack up as we're trying to live beyond our means. The guilt and shame, the lack of joy. I think every single year I've been here, I've heard about, and just not affecting us, I think every single year I've been here, I've heard at least that one or two of the local high schools of a kid commit suicide because of what's going on in their lives. This is the baggage we carry. It affects our total being. The baggage we carry keeps us from fully living in freedom. I believe that there's two types of baggage we carry. The baggage done to us, the baggage we do ourselves. The baggage we done to us. My dad growing up was an alcoholic. I had no control over it. He chose to drink and affected me and my family. My parents got divorced between 7th and 8th grade. That affected me. I had no control over it. My mom developed multiple sclerosis when I was about 19, 20, and had been in Columbus Hospital for 20 years. That affects me. It affected who I was. Maybe you carry baggage because you've been sexually abused or physical abuse. Maybe carrying baggage because you were born, raised in poverty. Or your spouse is cheating on you. There are things in our lives that we sort of don't have a lot of control over that have been done to us. And we must find freedom from those things or it will destroy us. Then there's baggage we've done to ourselves. A lot of it is, how do I respond to what's been done to us, to me? So for example, if something's been done to me that I don't have any control over, I have a choice of how to respond to that. Before I was a Christian because of what I felt, I had no hope. Growing up as a Christian. But because of my dad's drinking, my parents' divorce, my mom's multiple sclerosis, it led to me, at about the age of 22, trying to commit suicide. Because of the baggage and the stress and the lack of hope that was carrying on me, and luckily, I had great people coming in my life and intervene with that. But that's what baggage does, because my choice to respond to that without knowing who Jesus was to give up on life and on hope. Or do we think freedom means that I can do whatever I want and so I live in bondage to the things that I choose to do? We do these things to ourselves. The sexual desires we have, the money, the hate, the anger, the consumerism, the things we're choosing to live into on our own, things we do to ourselves. It's like a grip around our lives that we live into. We live beyond our means in so many different ways than just our money. What do you chase after? That's what you're doing and what we do to ourselves. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 1:23. I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. God gives us freedom to destroy ourselves, basically. But not everything is good for us. We don't ever listen to that. We're choosing to do things that are going to have bags around us. It's our choice. But we can't live in freedom if we have these things. So So today we're really just talking about what it means, what baggage is and freedom is, and what that looks in Christ. But I want you to start thinking about, I asked you earlier, what is your baggage? Start thinking about that, because next week we're talking about what freedom from our past is, and freedom in our present, the following, and freedom in our future. We're going to help unpack what baggage really is and freedom really is. But what then, said, where does this come from? So we're going to go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis 2, 8 through 9. And this is what it says. Now the Lord has planted a garden in the east, in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed, Adam. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, whether you believe in the literalness of this, or this is poetry or figurative, you understand that God has put before the first human beings, before humanity, two trees. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. When you read these stories, you kind of ignore the tree of life, because we know that the tree of knowledge of good and evil is what Adam and Eve ate, and they were expelled from the garden. And so we tend to focus on that, but there's two trees. And humanity, because of the devil's influence, but really it's our choice. You know, we blame the snake, or, you know, throughout history, we blame men and blame women for making a choice, but really, you're laughing, but people have. It's our choice. We chose to try to be like God. God gave us permission to eat every single thing, even from the tree of life. But what do we choose? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we bow. To say, I want to be God. I want the world to circle around me, is what that says. And so we're expelled. Humanity is broken. But there is hope. The tree of life, we see in the second chapter, and then we see it at the book of Revelations, the very last book of the Bible, that talks about how the world's going to be made new when Jesus Christ comes again. The tree of life appears at the end of history, that God plants it, and says, this tree of life will be the healing for the nations. So we live between these two trees. We live between the tree of life until the tree of life comes again. And we need to try to seek to live after that tree of life. Over the last several years, each fall and spring semester, we've offered classes and small groups on freedom. It's called Freedom Journal. It's an amazing series that we're going to have beginning this fall. And the series we do describes the tree of good and evil and how we live there in the tree of life the following ways. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil says, do more to get to know God. The tree of life says, receive the fact that Jesus has already done it. That's what we said. We think oftentimes, if I check out these boxes, I'm going to know God is and be a good person. But Colossians said that Jesus has paid it all. That we receive the fact that Jesus has already done it. You see the difference here between the good and evil tree, the tree of life that we're called to live into? Know that Jesus has already done it. The tree of knowledge of good and evil says, keep trying to get God's approval. Keep on that hamster wheel. If I do enough stuff, if I go enough mission trips, if I go do enough stuff, God's going to love me. The tree of life says, receive the fact that He has already loved you. He already loves you. God did not abandon Adam and Eve after they rebelled. He chased after them. That's the history of the Old and New Testaments, is God's relentless pursuit of humanity. He loves you so much, He's willing to chase you down. You just have to stop and acknowledge it. The tree of knowledge of good and evil says, obey out of duty. I live in fear of God. And so I'm going to obey because it's my duty. The tree of life says, obey out of the light. Because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life, I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to do what He says. I'm going to find joy in it. I go on a mission trip not to please God, but to live my life fully in His orbit, to live my life fully around Him. Those are some of the differences between What happens when we follow a tree of good and evil versus the tree of life? So this is what a response then to regain the tree of life is. There's four areas here. Fall in love with Jesus. To really follow the tree of life, fall in love with Jesus. Think about your spouse. Think about your kids. Think about something you really love. You want to spend time with them. You fall in love with them. That's what God wants us to do with Jesus. To regain the tree of life, love Jesus. Don't check off boxes. Love Him. Serve God.